Welcome to this message from Port Life Church. Our goal is to bring life to the Port community and beyond. And our hope is that this message will inspire and encourage you today.
Good morning. When I left university a couple of decades ago, door after door just kept opening for me. There's this amazing situation that took place. Like, I finished uni and my accounting lecturer, one of my accounting lecturers at the uni, rang me, which was highly unusual because he would have had hundreds of students. But he rang me and he said, "Josh," and I'm like, "Yeah." And he said, "Would you be interested in a job teaching accounting?" And I'm like, "Sure, of course I want a job. I'm ready to go." And he said, "It's in Darwin." And I went, "Look, I'll find out about it." He said, "So you're interested?" And I said, "Okay, yeah, sure, I'll look at that." And about a week later, I get a phone call from a guy who happened to be the principal of a school called Casuarina Senior College. And the guy rings me and says, "Look, I'm in a hotel room in Adelaide. Can you come and visit me?" Now, initially, I was a bit unsure about that. I wouldn't recommend this to other people to do this, but I went, "Who are you again?" And he's like, "You know, I'm the principal of this school." And he said, "You know, I've spoken to your lecturer, we're friends, this lecturer at the uni, and he thinks you'd be a good fit for us." And I went, "Sure, okay." So anyway, I rock up to this hotel room and this interesting older guy was there, and he sat me down and said, "Look, this is a situation. We've had a very short notice this take place, and I trust this friend of mine, and I think this would be a good fit. We'll make it a permanent job straight up." And it's like door after door was opening for me, but I really didn't want to teach accounting. I mean, everyone knows accounting's boring, but I wanted to teach economics. I mean, that was my passion. And anyway, I get up there to Darwin after a few tears from my wife-to-be, Sally, at the time. And straight away, within a week, I kid you not, within a week, the economics teacher up there quits due to ill health, has to leave. And they said, "Do you want the economics job?" I'm like, "Hallelujah, this is amazing." And I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where things are going really, really well for you, where door after door after door just seems to keep opening and it just gets better and better and better. And I could go on and on about all the things that took place, but at the time I was on cloud nine because so many things were going well. It feels so good when doors keep opening for you. But 3 years later, I had a door shut on me. I went for 12 months. I had been in a executive role there, in an acting executive role. There's an amazing story how that came about, but that's for another day. But anyway, this opportunity came up for it to be a permanent role in this particular role, and so of course I applied for it. And to my horror and disgust, they said, "No, you are not going to get the permanent. I've been doing this job for 12 months. It is not for you." And I tell you, it was a slap in the face. I did not get that job, and I was pretty angry about that. About 7 years ago, Sally and I wanted to buy a house on Semaphore Road, and it was this old house on there, on Semaphore Road up this end, with 1,500 square metres of land. Now, if you don't know a lot about houses, that might not mean a lot, but 1,500 square metres of land is like three average-sized blocks. It was perfect for what we wanted to do. So I went to the bank and I said, and they only wanted $520,000, by the way. So I went to the bank and I said, "Look, I know I've got my house over here, but we'll sell that. We just need a bridging loan." They said no. I'm like, "Are you kidding me? No, this opportunity is right now. We've got the house over here. We'll sell it. We can do this." Bank said, "No, we are not prepared to do that bridging loan for you." And Sally and I were gutted. We could not believe it. And I was even more gutted when recently I saw it listed for $2.4 million. Now, I thought I was over it until I saw that. And I've got to be honest with you, feelings of resentment did rise up in me towards a particular bank, but I won't mention the name. No, it's not which bank. But you know, when a door of opportunity that we desperately want to go through is shut on us, there can truly be a sense of loss and a sense of grief. And I don't know if you've ever experienced it, but it can go a bit like this. You know, that new job that you'd lined up is no longer available. Or maybe that person that you thought you're going to spend the rest of your life with, the only problem is they don't feel the same. That amazing business opportunity that you had falls through. Or the house that you've always wanted, but you can't get that loan. That opportunity to fulfill a lifelong dream, taken away by sickness or some unforeseen circumstances. And when the doors close on us, no matter what the situation is, and maybe you can relate, because maybe you go, well, that's not me, but I know I've got my own situation where I know that doors closed on me. It can be heartbreaking. If only it was avoidable. Is it avoidable? No. No matter what we do, we are all going to face doors closing on us. Now, some of you are probably hoping I was going to say, yes, it's avoidable. No. We're all going to face doors closing on us. And so I believe it's pointless to try and prevent doors from closing on you. I don't see the point in that because it's going to happen. It's part of life. Doors are going to shut, which means opportunities are going to be lost. Now you might say, now wait a minute. I know a passage in Matthew chapter 7 where Jesus talks about doors, and here's what he says in Matthew 7. He says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. But there is a big but with this verse, depending on how you want to interpret it. Because it's not saying ask, which really means pray. Pray, and every door that you want opened, you will get. If that is your interpretation of that passage, you are going to be a very disappointed Christian. Because everything that you want doesn't mean you get. This is saying, ask, pray, which door God wants us to take. Pray for God's wisdom, pray for God's direction, and when we know we've arrived at the door that God wants us to enter, then by all means we keep praying, we keep knocking, we keep seeking, because he will open it if it's in his plan for you. That's very different to whatever I want opened, you will open for me, because that scripture says that you will. So rather than focus our time on the doors that we want to open, instead, I believe, we should actively seek the doors that God wants us to walk through. There's a difference, the doors that we want versus the doors that God has for us. Because I believe that God is sovereign, and I hope that you do too, which means I believe that God is in control. I believe that nothing in this world happens without God's permission. Doesn't mean he does everything, but it doesn't happen without his permission. And so sometimes, yes, it is God that closes doors on us. Sometimes he doesn't close it, but he will, at least he allows those doors to be closed on us. And that can at the time be very hard to take. Why, God? Why would you do that to me? I thought you loved me. And sometimes he does this because simply it's not the door for you. It's not the door that he has for your life. Not because he's cruel or harsh or loves punishing people, but because he actually has something better for you. Or it's because he wants to use this as an opportunity to work on something that needs to be worked on in your life first before he has you entering the doors. As I look back on why God closed the door on my first promotion, permanent promotion opportunity, I realised that God was in on it. And I actually am so pleased he did that. Now, at the time, I've got to tell you, I was not pleased. I was very unpleased. I'd spent a year in that role and felt that I did a good job and I deserved that job. But as I looked at the bigger picture of what God had for my life, where down the track he's calling me to go into ministry and pastor, had I got that promotion job, that would never have helped in the role that I am trying to do today as much as the one I ended up getting a couple of years later, which was perfect fit for what God has called me to do today. Because the second role that I got, I had to actually run budgets and I actually had to run staff and I had to actually deal with people problems and I had to manage some difficult people. Not that my staff are difficult to manage, but the point is that the role that that God actually had me go to actually lended itself far better to what he had for me later down the track. You know what? It's easy to see it in hindsight, but at the time when the door is closed on us, it's a dangerous period because we can get really angry. We can get really bitter with God. We can resent God. We can turn away from God. Or after we grieve a little, we can accept that that wasn't God's will for us. And we start looking for another door. See, if I go looking for a door, and here's the door to what I thought God had for me, and let's say it's this one here. It's not open. And I'm gutted because I thought this is what was meant for me. And so what I can actually do now is I can just sit here and continue trying to open the door. Or I can just sit and look at the door and go, huh, they made a mistake there. That should have been me going through that door. And I can just stay looking at that door. Now what happens the longer that I focus on this door that's not going to be open to me? I'm just wasting my life. I'm just sitting here looking at a closed door. It's not going to open. That job is gone, Josh. You've missed out. Why do you want to keep looking at it, regretting it, wishing it was you? This is a very dangerous place to be, where we sit outside a closed door and just sit there. Because if you look what's happening to me, nothing's changed. I'm just sitting here. And over time, all that happens is you'll see me change. I'll become more bitter, more cynical, more resentful. But the door's still closed. It's a very, very dangerous position to get ourselves in where we sit outside a door that clearly wasn't the door that God has for us. It's a very, very dangerous position for us to be in. But if instead, when doors are closed, if we accept that it's not what God had for me, because God is a good God, and therefore I believe that God actually has a better door for me. If I believe that God has a better door for me, something amazing can happen. Because over here, as I said, I've got this door, but it's still not going to open. I still can't get in. But the moment I accept that and go, okay, God, that's not what you had for my life. I accept that. So what do you have for my life, God? And the moment that I recognize that God is a good God that has something for me, the moment I take my eyes off of that and I start walking towards another door and I'll try something else. I've got myself away from my pit of misery over there. And I'm heading towards something new. And what's happening is, when I move away from there, and as I go approaching a new door, can you see what's happening? God is able to reposition my life. Here, I'm stuck, and I'm not going anywhere. The moment I focus on another opportunity, God's actually been able to use that to move me. And my life is now going somewhere. I'm no longer sitting outside the door wallowing. I'm moving towards the next opportunity. So how God does it. He can use it to reposition us, and he starts steering me down a path I would never potentially have gone had I gone been able to get through that door. Imagine if that door, if I had to force my way through that door, what would I have missed out on that God had for me? Who knows what I might have missed out on? Now, this series is called Be the Church. Now, we are the church. The believers in Jesus are the church. It's a series about us and what God calls us to do. And I believe that as Christians, our desire should be to follow God, to follow the directions that God has for us, rather than the direction that we want to go. It's a hard thing to do because we all have got ideas of what we should be doing and we all know what doors we want to go through. But I believe that life is a series of opening and closing doors, if you like. If you look at doors as opportunities, some opportunities will open for you and some will close for you. And sometimes it's God that opens and closes them for you. And I want to look at a story today in Acts chapter 16 about this. Let's have a look. It says, "Next, Paul and Silas travelled through the area of Phrygia and Galatia, because the Holy Spirit had prevented them from preaching the word in the province of Asia at the time. Then coming to the borders of Mysia, they headed north for the province of Bithynia, but again the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them to go there. So instead, they went on through Mysia to the seaport of Troas." Who knows if I'm pronouncing that right? "That night," if I say it with confidence, it would be right, right? "That night, Paul had a vision." That's falling apart. "A man from Macedonia in northern Greece was standing there pleading with him, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.' So we decided to leave for Macedonia at once, having concluded that God was calling us to preach the good news there." Now, you might have read this passage before and gone, "Well, okay, I can see what's happening there," and not thought too much about it. But what happens in this passage significantly shaped the world that we live in today. Significantly. Now, this all happened on Paul's second missionary journey. And if I can go back to the map, thank you, guys at the back. So Paul, you know what, I thought I had life here. And it's just died on me. I wonder if I can get this back. Please work. I think it needs a battery. Oh, here we go. Okay, here we go. So Paul and Silas are over here. And they've decided that where he really wants to go, I mean, where Paul really wants to go is Ephesus. He wants to go. He feels that God's calling him to Ephesus. So they go through Galatia here. And they're going to go through Phrygia. But they get near here and God's like, no, I don't want you going to Asia. So then Paul's like, okay, we'll head up to Bithynia. There's Bithynia. He's heading out that way. And God's like, no, I don't want you going there either. And so eventually they're forced away from there. So they make their way through Mysia through to this city of Troas. And it's there that Paul has this, gets this dream, this vision of this guy calling him from over here in Macedonia. Now, of course, over here you're in, it says Asia, but really the Middle East, in Turkey, as we would know it today. And over here, you've got Europe. And so Paul had this idea that I really sense I'm meant to be here. I'm meant to be preaching here. I've got to take the gospel to these people, catch up with the churches that I've planted there, and I really want to strengthen them and encourage them. But God's got this different plan. And God's like, nope, going to close that door, going to close that door. But finally, when he's here, he opens the door to Europe. And by choosing God's door, the church began in Europe. On this trip, Paul ends up planting churches at Philippi, Thessalonica, and Corinth. And these churches went on to play an important role in the early development of the church. There are five letters in the Bible written to the to those churches. The church and the world was forever changed because Paul chose to listen to God, and when the doors were closed in Asia, make his way over to Macedonia, to Europe. And so what can we take from that little short story? And there are four things I want to briefly share with you today. Number one, if God closes a door, I believe we should accept it. Now, Paul and team had their hearts set on what was known as Asia. God didn't. Paul had his heart on Asia. God didn't. When the Asia door closed, did they ignore God and try to find another way into Asia? No. When the door closed, did they ignore God? Did they keep sitting at the door waiting for God to change his mind? No. They accepted that that's not what God wanted. That wasn't God's plan for them. You know, I don't know anyone that likes it when doors close on them. I don't know that anyone that likes it when their plans are upheaved. I don't know anyone that likes to lose control of the situation they're in. But when a door closes firmly shut, you can either stew on it, you can try to force it to open, or you can accept that that's just not the door for me. God closed a few doors on Paul, not because he was cruel, not because he didn't like him, not because he wanted to punish him. It's because God had a much bigger door for Paul to enter, which was Europe. See, God's plan is always bigger and better than our plan. Number two, if God closes a door, I believe that we should wait for another door. Now, wait means pray. If God closes a door, wait for another door. Sometimes we want something so bad, we're just not prepared to wait for it. When God closed the door on Paul, he could have just left and gone home, but he didn't. It says in Romans 8:25, but if we look forward to something we don't yet have, we must wait patiently and confidently. You know, if we want to do all these things for God, we've got all these plans, there's so much we want to do, but then a door shuts, then what can happen? It's really tempting to either just give up or to go ahead with our plans anyway. But can I encourage you, God actually wants us to wait for his plan. God has a plan for you and I. The problem is that sometimes we're just not willing always to wait for it. Paul and his team went to a door. God was like, no, this is not the door. I don't want you going here. So they rushed off to another door. And God's like, nope, I don't want you going there either. And God's like, no, 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 this is not the place I want you to go. You know, if only they'd waited on God and said, God, which door do you actually want us to go through? So they sort of went round the hard way. They went to all the places that God said no first. But finally, God makes it clear to Paul which door it is I want you to take. And that leads to my third point, that if God opens a door, for goodness sake, go through it. How many people does God give an opportunity and they can see the doors open and they just walk away from it? You'd think this is common sense. It's not. So many people have walked away from opportunities that God has clearly given them. God sends Paul a vision. Your door is Europe. Take the gospel to Europe. Paul doesn't hesitate. He goes straight through. He knows, he now knows it's what God wants him to do, and what a door it was. Shortly after arriving in Europe, listen to this. This is just a little taste of what happens when he goes through this door to Europe. Tell me God's not in on this when you hear what's happening. This is in chapter 16, verse 16 to 18. Once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, these men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. I don't know how she said it, but it could have been like that. She kept this up for many days. Now, I'm going to guess that at times Paul didn't have like the greatest of temperament and probably didn't suffer fools lightly. And I get this sense, you can see it in the Bible here. Finally, she kept this up for many days. Imagine if a little girl was going around saying that constantly. You know, these men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. And in a really, really horrible, weird, creepy way. And she kept this up for many days. And finally, Paul's had enough. He became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the Spirit, "In the name of Jesus, I command you to come out of her." And it did. But I can just imagine Paul at the time going, "I've had enough of this. I'm going to deal with this right now." Paul and Silas, as a result, have just cost that guy a lot of money because he was making his money off this girl who would fortune tell for people. And they're not happy, and so they get the authorities involved, and Paul and Silas are beaten, they are whipped, and they're thrown into jail as a result. What happens next? But God miraculously frees them. There's this earthquake, but they don't leave the jail, of course. Like, they don't want to do the wrong thing. And so the jailer, he's amazed. He's like, "Why didn't you leave?" He's like, no, we're here. We've just been having a worship service, actually. So we're fine. There's no COVID here. We can do what we want." The jailer's amazed. They tell him the gospel. He accepts Christ straight away. He's like, "Wow, if you're doing that, there's something about you. I don't know what it is, but I want it." He releases them. He takes them into his home, and the family at the home all accept Christ as well, as did many, many others. And at place after place, the gospel is being shared, salvations and healings are becoming just everyday events, and new churches are being established everywhere they go. Why did it go so well? Because they went through the door that God had planned for them. They just did what God had said to do. And if you do what God says to do, it's amazing. God will achieve what he wants to achieve. All we got to do is enter. Paul originally wanted to go to Ephesus. God's like, "No. I'm closing that door." But when God closes a door, it's always for a reason. It's never for a bad thing. You know why God wanted him in Europe? Europe at that time was ripe for the picking. Europe was ready to receive the gospel. Like never in any time previously, it was now ready. And the evidence is, keep reading the book of Acts and see the evidence that it was ripe. It was ready because those that heard, they responded. My final point. All God's doors open and close on his timing. Paul wanted to go. Can I go back to my little map, if that's okay, please? It might be up on the next slide, actually. As I said before, Paul really wanted to go here, the church with the Ephesians. He wanted to go to Ephesus, big city. He felt on his heart that he needed to go there. But you know what? What's really interesting is just because even though God closed the door on that, what I find interesting is that as time went by and he did all the stuff that God called him to do, where does he end up? Sometimes God is closing the door not permanently on you, but just for a season. Because there'll be a season that you're meant to be in the place that you feel that you are meant to be. So Paul ended up there. He got there in the end. But had he gone there first, who knows what he may never have gone to Europe, and Europe may not have been ripe as it was at the time that he went. God's timing is perfect. He knows what we should be doing. He knows where we should be, and he knows when. And I'm sure that as Paul looked back on that second missionary journey, he could see from all that took place as he reflected on it all that God had his back all that time. And he would never have regretted a moment of it, of going into Europe and doing all those things and planting all those churches there and forever changing the world, bringing Christianity into Europe. So what's the relevance of this story for you and me? You know, this is a series about being the church, not being a missionary. Well, I actually think it's very relevant because being the church is being a missionary. It is God's plan for all of us to be leading people towards Jesus. No matter where we live, no matter what we do, God's main task, God's main purpose for us, for the church, as it says in Mark 16, is to go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, so we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. We do the work that God has called us to do. It's clear what God wants us to be doing. The only thing that's not clear is which door do we take. That's the only thing that's not clear. Because the doors that God has for you and for you and for you can be completely different. Same purpose, different doors. God knows you. He knows the people that if you come into contact with, that you can influence and be a blessing to. And he knows that they might be different people to who you can help and you can help and who you can help. And so God will be saying, no, that's a closed door for you. That's an open door for you. That's a closed door for you. This is an open door. Because God knows everything and he knows what's best. We don't. We think we know what's best. He has the big picture. And when you've got the big picture, it's much easier to work out who needs to do what. So as we seek God's will, one last scripture. Proverbs 3, 5 to 6. I love this scripture. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding, because it will be your undoing. It would certainly be mine. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Switch path with door. It's all about, you don't have to go and randomly find doors. You can, and you end up doing what Paul did. You keep going from place to place until eventually God does something miraculous, rather than going, you know what, I'm going to avoid all of that. Lord, just tell me. Please, what direction do you want me to go? Which people do you want me to be speaking to? Who do you want me to help? Where do you want me to go with my occupation? Where do you want me to live, Lord? I could live anywhere. I mean, well, not at the moment. We're sort of stuck here, aren't we? But generally speaking, in normal times, I can say, Lord, where do you want me? Or I can just go and pick a place. I could throw a dart at a map and wherever it lands is where I'll live. I've known people to do that. It's crazy. You are far better off. If you want to be doing exactly what God has planned for you, just ask. It's amazing what doors he will then open for you and what doors he'll close. And as we seek God's will, we should remember that if he closes a door, accept it. If he closes a door, don't pout. Wait for another door. Pray for another door. If he opens a door, for goodness sake, go through it. Take the opportunity. What have you got to lose? If God's on your side, you can't lose. And if all of God's doors, open and close on his timing. Let's just pray. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you are the Almighty. Lord, you are in control. Lord, nothing gets past you. You know everything. You know everything about us. You know every situation. You know it all. And Lord, and yet you are good. You only want what is best for us. You only want what is best for everyone. And so Lord, I just pray that in this upcoming season, Lord, may we all look for doors of opportunity. Lord, may we seek your will as we look for opportunities to be coming up. Lord, opportunities for each of us to be able to reach into the lives of others. Lord, help us to take the right doors, not the doors that we want, but the doors that you want for us. Lord, help us to remember to be patient and to seek you and to be obedient to where you're asking us to go, Lord. And when the opportunities come up, Lord, give us the boldness to actually step through, to actually step through and seize those opportunities. Lord, I'm excited by the opportunity that this could actually be, that if we had hundreds of people from this church all seizing the opportunities you had for them, what an impact it would have on this community. And Lord, I pray in your name that it be done. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Port Life Church. If you have any questions, please email info@portlife.org.au. Have a great day.